So, Philip, it's a delight to have you on the program today. And I think our conversation today is going to be an inspiration to somebody. So welcome to GodQuest.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to be here. Yeah. And I'm excited to be here with you.
So you have served in a variety of roles of ministry for a number of years. You were the young adult pastor here at The Rock, besides a whole bunch of other things.
Yes, yeah. Easter drama.
Yeah. Here we wear a lot of hats around The Rock. Yeah. Then over the last 2 or 3 years, you have become the assistant pastor and a right hand to me. And so you've seen stage ministry, backdoor ministry, behind the scenes ministry,
yes sir,
as well as big dramatic productions. You've led All Nations Sunday. You've had your hands in a lot of things.
Yes.
What would you say has been the driving force of general ministry? Don't isolate one particular one, but what do you think is, if you could sum up, like, what's the driving force of ministry in your life, no matter what that ministry is?
Obviously, you know, to go into all the world in any way you possibly can. However, the scripture in Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." So for me, I'm just going after whatever it is that, whatever plow, whatever field I'm in, I'm going to make sure that I'm pushing, I'm working as hard as I can, I'm encouraging those around me to get involved and to push hard, work hard. We only have so much time on this earth. So my goal is to not waste it. So that's been the driving force.
So you've done everything. I remember one big 4th of July celebration. Yeah. You painted a big scene live while the music's going on.
Yes,
it was like a very artistic. So your ministry has, you've covered a lot of the landscape of ministry.
Mm-hmm.
You've been highly effective in counseling with people as a young adult pastor. Now watching, it's got to be a fulfillment to see some of those young people now married with kids of their own and thriving in the church.
Yes.
How did you ever see any crossover the connection between, obviously, you're a very artistic person. The glasses, by the way, I like the they're very artistic.
No,
kind of speaks of your nature. Do you ever see a connection between art and ministry?
Yes. So from a very young age, I was pulled into Sunday school classrooms to help create whatever visual aid they wanted. And then as I got older and getting involved with Easter dramas and those kind of things, I could see where art could be used in a general aspect of the church. If we are putting on a conference, there's been times we've made, you know, whole globes and airplanes, and we've done so many different things for different conferences here using art, and we have tons of artists here at the Rock Church that do fabulous work. However, over the last probably year and a half, it has taken a new turn for me personally, and I began to see how art actually impacts people emotionally. And I saw it as I do see it as an avenue for doing ministry. And so that's
actual art itself.
Art itself.
So you're to the audience that may be watching, they don't know that you're really a very, I draw, okay? I sketch, but I'm not an artist. You're an artist. In my home, there are paintings that you have done.
Mm-hmm.
And you're now, I don't know what the terminology is, interning or an apprenticeship or something of a well-known artist in Carmel, which is on the West Coast, is one of the premier art cities.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about how did that unfold and what's that look like?
So one of my favorite things to do in Carmel or any city that has galleries is go for a gallery walk. And my wife is very proud of me. And anytime that she can, if we're talking to an artist or a gallery owner, she wants them to know that I paint.
And you're like, okay, please.
I'm like, honey, these are real artists, you know, but rein it in. And it was actually during Camp West last year. We met Kevin in his gallery. We knew he was the gallery owner Only after we saw him painting in the gallery. Sometimes if you go to Carmel, you'll actually see the artists in the galleries painting. Not all the time are they the owners, but sometimes they're just there to draw up attention and bring people in. And so we thought it was kind of one of those situations, and ended up that he actually owned the gallery, and we hit it off really well. And we were just talking to him about his art. We were hearing from him, listening to him. And that was actually the first little bit of taste of us actually enacting that thought of how can art be used as a ministry. And it wasn't me painting. It wasn't me creating. All I was doing was having a conversation with someone else about them and their artwork and how it's impacting them and the people they sell to. And what has happened is we stirred up a friendship.
So you just said something, how the art is affecting him.
Yes.
So he's being affected by what he's
tremendously
painting.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And so that's when an artist is actually creating even more beautiful art, is when it's impacting him, because what it is, it's almost like a, not a conversation, but there's communication between him and the piece that he's creating, and it's coming back and it's inspiring him to go deeper and further. And that's why an artist can put a piece of painting away and just dwell on it and think about it and bring it back out a few months later and just add more. And you're like, well, it was already beautiful. What are you doing? And they can make it even greater because they are literally working and allowing it to impact them and take them further into what they're doing.
So I'm getting all kinds of preacher thoughts now. I'm thinking of if we're his work of art.
Yeah.
We're always thinking like that's revelatory to me. I didn't know that was going to be in the discussion. So we're just having a conversation. I've thought about artists drawing for others, but I've never thought about the artist drawing for them. So painting for them. So I'm thinking of God's working on us. He's enthused by what he's seeing on our canvas.
Yeah, he's pleased, and he's going to keep pouring in, and he's going to keep flipping. It's like that guy on the grill, and he's throwing the steak on the grill, and he keeps flipping it, and he just wants to keep flipping. He wants to see that next side, and I think that's how God is with us. He just throws us out there, and he sees what we're going to do and how we're going to react and respond. And as we're going through that portion of life, he just keeps flipping it, and he keeps flipping us, and he keeps turning us and keeps working. And when we think that it couldn't get any better, God does something different, and there's a transition.
I'm thinking of the 7 days of creation. Yeah. Now, my brain's going there.
Yeah.
From an artistic perspective.
Yeah.
That he gets through day one, he goes, that's good.
That's good, but it can be better.
Let's do another day.
Yeah.
That's very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. So this guy, Kevin,
yes.
Owns an art gallery, mm-hmm. Carmel, mm-hmm. and you're mentoring. What's the terminology?
Okay, so he is, I am his student right now.
Okay, a student. Okay.
And he's pouring into me. Now,
learning?
I am learning a lot. Yes. Wow. And so the conversation started because my wife showed him a picture that I painted, and he thought it was very good. And he said, come over here. Look at this painting I did a while back. What color do you see here? What color do you see there? And then, so he got me to look at his landscapes and his seascapes. And he was asking me, when you go to those places, do you see those colors? Or do you just see green because it's grass? Or do you actually see that it's actually more yellow? It's more of this. The hills that are way out in the background, they're not green, just like the hills that's right here in the foreground. It's more of like a purple because you're looking through the atmosphere. And so the atmosphere actually changes the colors the further things get away from you. And so we were talking about those things. I told him, oh yeah, I recognize this. I was telling him what colors I see. And not everything was perfect because I don't know my colors like he does. And
yeah.
So we're just chatting and he's like, well, how do you come back and paint with me? I was like, okay, we're going to have a friendship here. This is cool. All right, let's do this. And so.
You've got to be, for those of the, that maybe watching that don't know Carmel, not just anybody has a gallery.
Oh, no.
You're at elite levels.
Yes.
There. And so to be the artist, and now you've been invited in.
Yeah.
I'm getting sermons all through this, by the way.
So that's cool. He actually he compiled a book of all of his work. He has two books now of his work he's done over the decades. And he is best known for the seascapes and landscapes from Big Sur all the way up through Mendocino.
Okay.
And so,
well, it's some of the most beautiful country, oh, California. Yes.
And he'll stand out there. He does plein air painting. And so he's out there in the atmosphere. He says, no, if you take it back home with you and work on it, that's not plein air. You're cheating. And so he's like really putting into me. He's like, you can't paint from a photo. What are you doing? And like, he's really pushing me to do things to be uncomfortable, because it's uncomfortable to go out there in the cold, in the wind, and trying to figure out, how am I going to paint this? It's windy out. It's this and that. But that's kind of part of the art as well. You're experiencing it. And so when someone is actually out there and they're painting in the elements, it actually does change the way they view the elements around them, and it will make its way into the painting. And really? Oh yeah,
so the atmosphere.
The atmosphere, because he's seeing the wind whip across the waves, and he's actually watching it in live motion. And it's amazing when you have to paint a wave in live motion, because there is no snapshot. You can't get it perfect. And so with every wave that's come crashing in, you got to manipulate the wave on your painting, and it's actually going to be it's almost, when you're looking at that painting that's on the wave, it's actually multiple waves coming in and hitting, and he's adapting each wave to fit into his one piece of painting. And it's amazing things that take place there. But back to just him as an individual, he found out later through another source that I can't think of what it's called now, the museum, that the Smithsonian,
okay,
got word that he created a book of all his work. And so they went out and they actually got copies of his book, and really? They're on display in
at the
Smithsonian. And so that's how big of an impact he has.
So you're working with a master of his craft.
Yes.
And you're learning to see things from a different perspective.
Yes, sir.
The average guy's just going to look.
Yeah.
But the master artist, mm-hmm, is looking into dimensions and nuances and seeing things that we don't see just as normal eyes.
Right.
I'm thinking of ministry. If we can be mentored by the ultimate artist, can we begin to see the beauty of what can be in the depths and of glory of what is God really doing in a life? What's God doing, you know, on the canvas of our soul?
Right.
And what's God doing in ministry? You know, they say that one of the effective things, what makes an effective leader, what makes a leader more effective than just an average leader, is that he's able to see the potential in the people that he's leading,
right,
he or she is leading. And that comes to mind as I'm hearing you describe this master artist.
Mm-hmm.
He's seeing, and now you have been brought in to participate with the master.
Right.
And you're picking up these traits.
Yeah.
Man, I can see so much ministry discussion there that if we get with him
in this
Missio Dei, we begin to see things. Give me the eyes of Christ. Give me the heart, the mind of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We begin to think. We begin to view things differently. Let's talk about art. How patient do you have to be working on a project?
So art for me is built on experiments, trials and errors, and resolutions. You have to be very patient. So it's a long game.
Resolution, resolving
the problems.
So there's no painting without mistakes.
It's all mistake. Every single stroke's a mistake. And you have to fix it. And so it's an experiment. And so the better you get, the more like, you know, I remember this last painting, I did this. And so you can do it, but it's not going to be perfect. You got to add more color. You got to add more mediums to it to get it to do the exact thing that you want it to do. You got to manipulate it. And so it takes time and patience. And the more detailed you want to get about it, the more beautiful the painting is going to be. We have artists now who are creating hyper-realism paintings. We've never had that. But we're reaching that point in life where technology is going to, you know, knowledge is going to increase, and we have all the things. But that's knowledge on every level. So even on the artistic level, knowledge is pushing its limits, and people are creating with their bare hands and a paintbrush and oil paints and acrylics and whatever their mediums are, and they're creating paintings that are, you think you're looking at a photo. It's hyperrealism. There's an artist by the name of Duffy Sheridan, who's one of my favorite artists, and he's kind of one of these people that when you walk up to his painting, it kind of shocks you for a moment because you think you're looking at a window into a window into another room looking at a human being just staring at you.
Wow.
It catches you off guard. And you can find his work there in Carmel as well. But it was painstakingly slow for him. He painted his whole life and then didn't get recognized, I think, until his 50s or 60s. All of a sudden, he started to get recognized. And then eventually, Queen Elizabeth said, come paint me. And then that's when he exploded. But he was that starving artist, you know. And so, but it's all patience. And so if I'm painting something, it's the more time I put into it, the better it's going to be. And I have to be patient and willing to learn the process and learn how to suffer and learn how to overcome and learn how to make my way through that process of painting.
I have a few years ago, I'm trying to remember what country we were in. We were in, it was Amsterdam. We were in Amsterdam. And we went to the Van Gogh Museum, four floors. It was amazing.
One of my favorites.
But what was interesting is I had seen the ones. There's a uniqueness to Van Gogh paintings.
Yes,
you know immediately.
Yes,
you know. I was amazed that was what he became.
Yeah.
But on the different floors, there were the paintings that he had painted as an early artist, and his art style drastically changed. Like I would have never, because you think the Van Gogh, the flowers, the like lots of strokes to make one, just almost like a modern art kind of deal that he got into. But he was, he did realism. I mean, they look like photographs.
Right.
Early on, I would have never recognized, but to see the development and the changing and what came at certain points of his life is what put him. And I'm thinking about now, as you're describing, is the artistic side of what God is doing in our life. We're not the same people today we were earlier on the canvas.
Yeah.
And as you were describing the mistakes and describing the resolution of the mistakes, how many layers are unseen?
Yes.
And so we look up on the stage and we see the great evangelist. We see the great pastor. We see the great musician or singer,
right,
worship leader. We don't know how many mistakes and how many resolutions.
Oh, right.
There's a depth there.
Yeah.
So this is a unique place. You don't hear a lot of ministry. You're a preacher of the gospel. Mm-hmm. You're an assistant pastor. On my wall at my home, I have a painting you did of my father from a picture of my dad praying. And that was a commissioned original for a very successful businessman that had seen that picture.
Yeah.
You are stepping into something new. Like, I remember I grew up in Louisiana. There was a painter. It's been years. I don't even know. His last name was Rambo. Randy Rambo. He painted some apostolic scenes, the baptism, I think it was Elton, Louisiana, things. And there was a following there. But other than him, I mean, I know a few people that paint, but to step into art from the side of ministry, you're approaching art even differently.
Yeah.
Unpack that.
So I am allowing the art. Remember how I said the art's going to speak to the artist as well?
Yeah.
And so there's been a few commission pieces where people said, hey, like the one of your father, that was, hey, here's a title. Figure that out. I want a piece of art by that title. And the title was The Function of God, the mathematical equation of God. And function is if this, then that. And so I did the if then studies and I just did everything. And I began to see like, okay, this is really impacting me. There's a message in this painting that goes beyond me, and I can share that. And if I'm getting off the question,
I love it.
But it led to eventually. I mean, I've done big paintings, I've done small paintings. There was a recent
big murals.
Exactly. But this painting I did recently is very small. And there's a bunch of people, I want to print. And I sent it off to the printers. They're making copies, but nobody really knows. Nobody really understands how small the painting is. They think it's this huge painting. It's not. It's a very small painting of just a sheep. And I was going through a hard time. This is probably just a few months ago. And I was just kind of just trying to figure some things out with God. And God told me in prayer, your first calling is just to be a sheep. Just follow. And I said, okay. And I was just studying what that meant. Just follow. Just be a sheep. And my creative mind started working. And it's not even like this crazy dramatic piece, but when the artist is interacting with the piece, it becomes something better. It becomes something greater. And I'm able to put time into it. And it's just a little tiny piece of painting, or piece of art. But it touches me. There's another piece that I'm working on that's for me. I've described it to a few people because they asked me what I'm working on. And I've told them, oh, I got this painting I'm, you know, trying to figure out. And I got to get the model. And the person that I asked to model for it already agreed. And I just got to get it all together. I got my camera so I can take a picture of the model and do all that stuff. But that piece is for me. And it's going to impact my life.
Yeah.
And it may impact others. But what I'm finding more and more is the pieces that are most important are the ones that are changing me. When I am doing something that's changing me, I know it's going to change other people. And so, you know, this gentleman who's teaching me, his paintings they impact him, and he wants it to impact others, but you can see how it's made an impression on him. You know, the time he spent out in the weather, his face is weather stricken. Really? Yeah, he's been
impacted by his art.
Yeah, he is now 75, I believe, or 76. So he's not a young man. And he's actually very hard to understand because he suffered from a disease that took his voice. But my wife and I spent time with him, and we were willing to take the time just to listen and try to make out the words he was saying. We'd repeat ourselves to him. We'd say, you're saying this? Yeah. And so he got excited. And so we allowed him to talk to us about his art, and tears are flowing down his eyes, and we're talking with him, and we're talking about my art with him, and he's just excited to connect with someone else over a piece of art that was on my phone, and he wanted to hear about it. And wow. He's showing me his art. He's showing me, flipping me through this book, and I had to buy the book, because I mean, he's sitting there touching it, and you know, he signs it for me and all that good stuff. But it's impacting him. But the biggest impact is just the communication, the telling the story behind it all. And so now, you know, we're talking about prayer. We're talking about different things. And so art is taking this huge, big turn. No longer am I painting to try to make a buck. No longer am I painting to try to just impress somebody. But I'm painting because it's coming out of, it's something that's impacting me. It's something that's, it's drawing near. It's coming out of me that I need this piece as my reminder. And when I did, I posted that little picture of that lamb or the sheep and I told a little story with it, because there's always a story.
Yeah.
And I had so many people reach out to me. I need that. I need that reminder. I'm first supposed to follow before I get caught up in what I'm doing or not doing. I have to remind myself I'm a follower. I'm just a believer. I have to follow the voice of God. I have to do that. I have to make sure I'm reading my Bible. And so I was shocked.
Yeah, because it's just coming out of you.
Yeah.
I can relate, not from the painting side, but as a songwriter.
Mm.
Two songs in my repertoire of songwriting, I had a friend that was tragically killed.
Mm.
And I was 18 years old. And I was standing in the field where he was tragically killed. And it was the afternoon, and I was a young songwriter at the time. And as I'm standing there in this field, I can't explain, like, you don't think I'm going to write a song in the field where my friend died. It's not, you know, that'd be weird. But as I'm sitting there, the words started coming to me. Sometimes it feels like life's a losing game where nothing can be felt except the pain. And I hear you whisper my name, and I wrote the song Peace to Me.
Mm.
And what's crazy is that I didn't even start to write the song.
Right.
The words just started coming, and it was like so strong. When I got home, the words were still there. I wasn't sitting at, like, the, you know, I wasn't at the songwriting clinic where, okay, let's find a phrase that fits. it was like a download from another world, just like
the Holy Ghost ministering to you.
And I'm writing this, and then that light, I went to the piano, and I'm like, I just started singing it. Well, as I wrote that song over the next, I started, getting the music to fit the lyrics shaped it a little bit. But I was amazed is after a few years went by, I became a preacher. I started traveling and I would sing that song and people are weeping. And I had a lady come to me one night and she said, "Brother Young, I got to tell you what happened." She said a few months ago, it was a pastor's wife, like my mom and dad's age. Oh. She said, I was really going through, their family had gone through a real trying time. And she said, I was washing the dishes and I had your CD. That was in the days of CDs. And she said, that song came on. And she said, I fell on the floor in my kitchen and just began to pray and cry and thank God. And she said, peace came in. And it shocked me like, man, I didn't have this plan to write this song. I couldn't even do that, but
yeah.
I can understand how it's coming out of you in artistic form that's going to bless someone later.
Yeah, and you're not thinking like that at the moment. You're not out there for any other reason than to change your, let it change yourself, and you're like you said, you're in that moment. You're just being sensitive to what you're feeling. Your art can begin to minister to others, wow. Whether you realize it or
that
not.
Goes, that's not just for a painter. That's for everyone, one of our ministries.
Everyone.
So I'm taking out of this discussion, Philip, what God's doing in me is where I'm going to be most effective.
Yeah.
If I'm in it to show off my preaching, my singing, my music, my art, never going to get to that depth that's going to impact.
Right.
I mean, because you look at some of the masters, forget faith. Let's just look historical art from antiquity. I mean, there's something about the Mona Lisa. I've looked at it. I've been to the Louvre in Paris. I've been to the Museum of Art in London. I've been to, because I love art. And I've gone and just stared, and there's a difference in the, Walmart copies.
Yeah.
Or Target, go to hang a picture on
anybody
your wall.
Anybody can get a print.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when you're looking, and that's a masterpiece, what you've described is what we're feeling. We don't even understand what we're feeling.
Yeah.
But even though it's just on a canvas, we're drawn in. If that's true of art from history, if we get in the Holy Ghost, because art's other dimensional. It's not logic, right? It's an artistic world. Bishop Wilson would talk about the seven dimensions of man. It's coming from another dimension.
It's creativity.
Yeah. But there's nothing as creative as the Spirit. And if the Spirit is working its art in our life, and we're flowing into that, whether I'm preaching, whether I'm singing, whether I'm painting, whether I'm teaching, or I'm loving a kid, helping them find their way to faith, loving them through their trials, or a couple that's going through something, or an elderly man who's in the aging years where he's not feeling valued, but that art form of the Holy Ghost flowing through, there's no telling what impact we could really make by just letting God work on us and through us.
Yeah. That when I was a young adult pastor, I did a thing where I had a blank canvas up in front of everybody. And everyone thought I was going to paint in front of them, but I hadn't done that yet, and I was not going to attempt it. But I had that underneath one of my tarps that was just full of paint. And I was just talking to them about art. And by the end of I shared with them the title for the night. And what I did was I pulled down that blank canvas, and behind it was another canvas that mirrored the mess that was all over that tarp. And I told them, we're so focused on making sure we have a perfect painting, but truly the mess is the masterpiece. What are we going to do with every stroke in our life that goes, and we think it's just the wind blowing, life is happening to me? No, you can respond. And so that's kind of what I'm hearing with what you're saying, like the Holy Ghost is going to move in your life, and we are to respond, and we are to take action. and that mess that we find ourselves in. Because sometimes, I mean, I'm sure you've been there where the Holy Ghost led you somewhere, and you're probably sitting out there in the in a mud puddle in the middle of Africa with some men. You're trying to like, what am I seeing here? What am I doing? What am I doing here, God? You know, we're stuck out here, flat tire, whatever the situation may have been. Who knows? But God's moving, and if you respond, that later on becomes something big to you. You know, and all of a sudden, you know, I don't know what Roatan was when you first went there. I know you guys were out there and you were scouting out and you were looking at different properties and whatever, but there was no one there.
Yeah.
And you just took a chance and said something to a cab driver.
Just a canvas.
And there was just a canvas there, and it could have been a mess.
Yeah. We made a lot of mistakes.
Oh, yeah. But look what Roatan is now. Look what TRC is now. How many mistakes? I mean, the building fell, right?
Yeah.
That's a big mistake.
And ministry, I love it. Ministry is a lot of mistakes and resolutions.
Yeah.
He specializes, I think it was Jeff Arnold preached a sermon about, he runs a secondhand shop.
Yeah. Yeah.
He loves taking our mistakes and fixing them.
Yeah.
Well, man, I have been blessed. I've learned a lot about art.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to see what's coming out of you. Not only ministry-wise, I'm actually looking forward to seeing some of the new art that's coming out of your time with this master you're working with. That's going to be intriguing. And how the applications of those things play out in ministry. And it's going to be a great ride. So
yep.
We're on a quest to see what God's doing.
Let's do it.